Hi, this is Ross Allen Skorzewski, and today you are listening to the best of the best of The Mark Gunger Show.
Caution, The Mark Gunger Show contains adult content intended for an adult audience. And besides that, he's really weird. Welcome to The Mark Gunger Show with national marriage speaker and author of Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage, Mark Gunger. This is your source for practical, down-to-earth marriage advice without all the over-spiritualization or romantic nonsense. And now the host of The Mark Gunger Show, Mark Gunger.
And the crowd goes wild, as always, when they join The Mark Gunger Show, the show that discusses all things concerning
knowledge.
I am, of course, the one, the only Mark Gunger.
If you're going to get mad at me every time I do something stupid, then I guess I'll just have to stop doing stupid things.
Joining me, as always, is the delightful Diane Brierley.
Awesome!
And, of course, the incomparable, amazing Ross Allen Skorzewski.
Is this a trick question?
No, it's just the facts. Engineering, as always, pushing knobs, twisting buttons, and trying desperately, as hard as he can, to stay awake during this incredibly boring program, is our engineer, Timothy Ray. Good to have you join us with us today. This is the program that we answer and deal with all things concerning marriage and answering your marital questions, relational questions, dating questions, dilemmas, etc., etc., etc. Lady Brierley, what have you for us?
I watched that movie, by the way.
Cetera,
not that long ago.
Cetera,
I didn't care for it at all.
Which one? The old one or the new
one? The old one.
You didn't care for it?
I thought it was really weird.
Why? You know, I kind of agree. I thought
it was weird. I mean, it was just, I kept trying to stay with it. No, I didn't see the remake.
Was that with Chow Yun-Fat?
Chow Yun-Fat.
No, I saw the original and I thought, what's
your name? Chow Yun-Fat.
Wow. Hubbub. I mean, I just didn't like it. Anyway, what do we have for you today?
Was it Chow Yun-Fat and who was the Chicky Poo?
I don't even know.
I don't know. Ross is going to look it up.
What's her name?
I don't know.
You know, I find it interesting that we have all of a sudden now find ourselves going on these, you know, we're like movie critics.
I know. This week has been heavily influenced by the movies.
Just us.
Us.
Because
True Grit's what kicked it off.
Only what we think is all that really matters in life. See, we're brilliant about everything.
That's right.
We're opinionated about everything. Is the truth.
Okay, there is a new book out that I will not be surprised if whoever wrote this has not been listening to you.
Ooh.
Quite frankly, it sounds a lot like you. There's a new book out to help young women, Christian and non-Christian alike, avoid falling into the glamour of sexual intimacy. It's titled Finding Your Prince in the Sea of Toads.
Dr. Kenneth Ryan.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. In which he acknowledges that scripture, purity rings, and abstinence pledges just aren't enough to keep women away from making the wrong choices when it comes to relationships.
Got that right.
In theory, the fact that the Bible clearly tells Christians that sex is only for marriage should be enough. If God says don't do it, we shouldn't do it. In reality, very few young women are spiritually mature enough to make that decision and hold true to it based entirely on their spiritual state.
Spiritually mature? How mature does one have to be?
Well, apparently more mature than what
my
they
grandchildren
are.
Don't have to be very spiritually mature to understand. You know, don't kill, don't steal. How
I don't know.
How is that a product
spiritual
of spiritual
maturity?
He's being nicer than I am. I'll tell you that. But anyway, okay, keep going.
Strong believers and nominal believers need reassurance that God's plan really does make sense. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, in 2009, 46% of high school students have had sexual intercourse. A 2008 report also revealed that among teenage girls, 1 in 4 has a sexually transmitted disease.
Okay, so just recently, last year, year before, whatever, 46% of all high school students have had sexual intercourse.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's a high number, but yet, aren't we told that everybody
everybody's
does
doing it?
Well, that's apparently not everybody. That's about half.
About half
of the everybody's
of them are
doing it.
Not everybody's doing it. All right.
Young people are often told that premarital sex is a bad idea, but giving them facts about STDs and pregnancy now seems to be almost ineffective in a culture where sex is being promoted and where abstinence is not portrayed as a good and honorable option.
This is true. I agree with that.
Remove religion, pregnancy, and STDs from the reasons to abstain, and Ryan contends there is still plenty to talk about.
Which is great, because what he's saying is, you know, of course, our viewpoint, you know, we come from a very, as a pastor, I come from a very Christian worldview. But even remove all that, acting these ways are insane.
Right.
Okay.
He says, whatever we have been telling our young women, it hasn't been working. Statistically, Christians have premarital sex as often as non-Christians.
Isn't that lovely?
That's wonderful. It takes a lot more than getting a purity ring and agreeing with your parents or pastor to keep your virginity until marriage. Each woman must make that serious decision herself. Understanding the dynamics of a relationship is key, he stressed. They need to understand what's going on because in their own bodies and emotionally, they need to understand the difference between them as women and the guys that they are going out with. There is a clear difference between men and women when it comes to their emotional and physical responses to sex, he said. Men are relatively simple when it comes to sex, while women are more complex and fragile.
If women are, in fact, and we agree with that, women are more complex and fragile, why are they so easy to give it up?
That's a good question. It is, because...
I mean, at least men, we admit, we just want to get laid.
He says...
What's your name again?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, women by nature... Yeah. See, that's why I think by women being so promiscuous, it actually goes against their very nature.
He says it's because women in our generation are ignorant and misguided, with most of the information they get coming from pop culture and from peers that are just as ignorant as they are.
I would go big on that.
Our culture,
they're just ignorant. I mean, it's just dumb. What they're doing is just dumb.
Here, this is good. Our culture has gradually convinced women that they can and should have sex as freely as men have wanted them over the course of history. Women have bought the lie, engaged in sex freely, and then wondered why their hearts and self-esteem are shredded in lying on the floor.
Young Got that right.
Yes.
Then they wonder why my life sucks.
Go!
Young women need to be aware of the emotional dangers of sex and not just the physical. Women, unfortunately, underestimate the power of sex. God has made sex powerful for a reason. If you don't understand the power of sex, you will probably get burned eventually. What Ryan presents in his book are all of the reasons why premarital sex is a bad idea, such as if you treat sex as a casual thing, it loses its meaning. He cautions, sex is like duct tape, essentially you. Essentially, sex was designed to bind us permanently with one person. Then each time you have sex with someone and then you walk away from it, it gets that much easier to walk away from your spouse in the future, and it just loses some of the impact, just like duct tape loses its adhesiveness, he explains. He has three daughters, and he said a common mistake women tend to make is waiting passively for their Prince Charming to come knocking at their door. But so is it, that's a mistake, but so is being too aggressive. Another common mistake is having the belief that sex is a better way of getting to know a person and a way of making sure that they are sexually compatible with
a man.
That's what he's saying is wrong. The whole title of the book is Finding Your Prince in a Sea of Toads, How to Find a Quality Guy Without Getting Your Heart Shredded.
Wow. Sounds like a great book.
Yeah, I'll send for that one too, hey?
Yatterhey.
Stop.
You are like seriously. You're kind of going north of the border there.
You guys must be related. You look together in the face there, Senator Sabaich.
Yeah. And I ain't Canadian. I know. I got it Wisconsin real bad. What, you know the movie Fargo? I got Wisconsin real bad. After the movie Fargo came out, I went out to visit my sister in California, and all of the people out there said, you talk just like the people in the movie Fargo.
I wouldn't know how to respond to that comment.
You know, I've never seen that movie.
Really?
No, I never have.
Oh, my gosh.
I need to see it.
You do.
Is it pretty funny?
It's twisted. Weird? It's just weird and twisted.
About murder or something like that? Or?
Yeah, they try to, I can't remember, cover up a murder or something. He says, he finishes the article by saying, it doesn't matter whether, I'm leaping back again, sorry guys, I'm hopping channels here.
That's right.
It doesn't matter whether you're a Christian or not, abstinence is still a good idea. Some of it depends on how it's taught, but I think it would be really damaging in our culture if we gave up on that.
Wow.
I thought it was good.
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
It sounds like you.
Maybe we ought to get him on the show.
That would be good.
So you wanted to join us or something. Wow.
Sounds very
That's
much
exactly
like
right. I mean, he's obviously a Christian worldview, like I do. But at the same time, it's really not about that. It's about using your brain, for heaven's sakes. Women go against their own interests when they become sexually promiscuous. And boy, I've just got this thing in Ezekiel in my head just burning now. I'm going to start preaching this, where God says, you're better off. You're worse than a prostitute because at least a prostitute will ask money.
Yep. It's true.
Where is it? So I tell one, look, if you're going to have sex with a guy, at least ask for at least a couple $100.
At least have him tip you on the way out the door.
Yeah. You know, I mean, how much do you get, you think?
Oh, I don't know what's a running rate. I haven't checked into it recently.
Let me look on the internet.
Who knows?
I'm just kidding.
What do you get for $50?
$50, is that all?
I don't know.
I'm sure you can get quite a bit for $50.
It depends on where you're going.
You can get full-blown out sex for $50?
Depends on where you go. Some skank will probably give it to you for $50.
Exactly.
Well, sadly, you'll have lots of skanks who'll give it to you for nothing.
For free. That's true.
I'm just trying to say. But if you're a decent prostitute.
I don't know what the going rate is.
An honorable prostitute.
This is not the kind of search you want to do on Google. Going rate for prostitute.
What are you going to find? I don't know. I would say $150 an hour.
Rates for prostitutes.
$150 would be a fair guess, I would think. $150?
Okay. So you girls out there, screwing your boyfriends all the time. You know, at least when you go on a date, ask them for $150 first.
Yeah.
I mean, at least that. At least have some standard in your life.
You ready for this?
What? What is it?
Depends on what you want.
Well, I suppose that.
Where you are and whether you are going to streetwalkers or escorts.
That's
okay.
Right.
Under 50 and a call-out girl, apparently it'll get you things outside of intercourse, but $200.
$200.
For sex, including your tip.
Wow. Including your tip.
Okay,
is
so
that
girls,
20%?
All you single moms out there, all you girls, Christian girls, God help us, who go on these dates and wind up screwing your boyfriends on, you know, heaven. You know, we've been dating 3 times now. We should be screwing by now. You know, at least have some standard. Get $200 from him first. Don't be less than a prostitute. Well, we put it out for nothing.
He'll just go find somebody else who'll do it for free. That's what they do.
Well, so be it.
It's just sad. They're giving it away. Giving it away.
You need to have a new ministry in the church. How to charge for sex.
You could create quite
maybe
a stir.
That's what we'll do. Obviously, we can't keep women from not taking their pants off.
So at least get paid for it.
At least. Let's teach them to get paid for it.
And then teach them that they have to at least tithe 50%.
And then at least tithe.
50% at least.
50%.
Because it is prostitution.
It is immoral.
Look, you could raise money for outreach here.
There you go.
It's a great way. Give half of your,
oh Lord,
your sex money to the church so we can at least save some souls.
So how did you raise your money for your missions trip?
Oh, we got some kind of a new outreach with the women in the church.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
I mean, at least let's try and redeem this.
Oh, Lord.
Let's redeem this. You girls, quit screwing these guys for nothing. Ask them for a couple $100 and then, you know, give it, you know, to missions or something.
Yeah.
Less than a prostitute, God says. Because at least a prostitute will ask for money.
Yes.
You girls have sex for nothing.
For nothing.
For nothing.
And it is for absolutely nothing.
It's absolutely
they
nothing.
They get nothing
out of it.
You
do nothing. Just for nothing. Just because you hope that he'll like you. And in fact, God says in Ezekiel, it says, actually, you wind up paying them.
And they do.
They do. They pay with their lives in some cases. Not only will they screw them, they'll take care of them. Yep. They'll move and live with them. They'll wash their clothes, clean their underwear.
Yep.
Take care of them.
Do it all. Keep putting it out.
I mean, at least, you know. Who's that guy that deals finances all the time?
Ramsey.
Let's see if Ramsey would agree with me. At least
give Dave a call, Ross, and see what he has to say.
People in Ramsey's office, he listens to this show.
Does he?
We got guys in there. Not he doesn't, but
in his
I wish he would. But you guys in Ramsey's office, ask him. Surely he'd agree. If you're going to be screwing guys, at least get some money. Be financially responsible.
Yep. And I was wrong. Vegas, apparently the minimum is 100, but 200 to 300 is the common for girls in Vegas.
Okay, so girls, if you're really ugly.
The ugly one.
If you're really, really ugly, at least get $100.
At least.
$100
if you're fairly attractive, a couple hundred. 200 to 300.
And if you're drop dead gorgeous,
if you're a babe, go for
sky's
grand.
The limit.
I mean, come on, we got souls to win out there.
We're gonna get emails on this. So what you're saying is you are pro prostitution.
Yeah, I know.
That's what you're saying then, right?
I can't believe.
No, what I'm saying is, I'm more pro prostitution than I am you girls going out just screwing guys for no reason at all.
Right?
Yes, for nothing. And
we need to start having prostitution. Man, we get Andy Little Bear. I wonder if she would think of that.
Hookers for Jesus.
Hookers for Jesus. Andy, what do you think? We should call her up. You know, Timmy, we got to plug in our phone here.
So we can call people
and start harassing them, putting them on the air.
She'd be a good one to put on, too, especially as we're talking about this.
Andy, what do you think? Don't you think we should at least
She'd be able to talk maybe about the price.
She could give us pricing options and business and stuff, you know?
Business advice.
Are you single moms out there dating guys and screwing them?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. At least you could be making some
praising
money.
Praising Jesus on Sunday and screwing guys on Friday night.
Mm.
Good grief. At least charge them.
This is going to be a rant of yours for the next few
weeks. He's on a new one.
I'm telling you, Wigan. You can send your pastor to Hawaii for crying out loud.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure that
little,
they
little
wanted
retirement, little vacation,
little fund slush
going
fund.
Slush fund from prostitution sent him on his trip to Hawaii. Somehow, I think 60 Minutes would have a real good heyday with that.
At least, if you charged him and you gave money to the church, at least something would happen.
This is true.
Even from perversion.
Right.
There'd still be an upside. Is that what you're saying? There's an upside to perversion.
A couple people listening to the show are freaked out
already. Really?
I'm sure they are.
Well, for heaven's sakes.
Do they understand what you're saying?
No.
Do they even get what it is that you're saying? Because people really...
What I'm saying is stop having sex with people you're not married to.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
And you girls who freely, Christian women...
On the first, second, third date.
I don't care if it's the 500th date. But they're doing it in 3, 4, 5 dates.
You mean you do care if it's the 500th date? They shouldn't be doing it on the 500th
date. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't care how many dates. You shouldn't be doing it. Golly, it's like just like talking to a wall.
Yeah, I know.
It's like talking to the wall. Well, you know, it doesn't matter. I'm not a virgin anymore. Mm-hmm. Oh, it doesn't matter. You know, I kind of felt like we really connected at some point. And, you know, we really worshiped Jesus together, and we thought it was okay.
I bet
and
you do.
I know we shouldn't, but I don't think there's anything wrong with it. And my friends don't think anything's wrong with it. And, you know, I don't know. Just screw. And we're not talking young people. The older they are, the worse they are.
Yep.
That study said
the older they get, closer to 40.
And I've been saying this for a year and a half.
The more I finally got
proof to it. It's amazing how often I go ranting and stuff and then find a study.
Yep.
My argument is the older these women are, the more they'll whip their clothes off.
And
just
you'd think that the older you get, the smarter you'd get,
but apparently not. No, apparently not.
The older you get, the dumber you get.
And then Ezekiel, God says at least prostitutes ask for money. You guys do it for nothing, and you actually put out to get it.
It's sad. It is
So if we
sad.
Can't, obviously, if it's too unreasonable for us as people of faith to expect that people who claim the name of Christ would not freely screw men, if that's too unreasonable, then let's go for the prostitution angle.
At least?
It sounds like a pimp, in an essence.
Pimp for Jesus.
Pimp for Jesus over here. You know, the pastor / pimp. You're
going
to go out and make money and do so, but give some to the church.
Give some to Jesus. Hallelujah.
I want to see your pimp mobile.
I'm going to get old big old pimped out.
Cadillac
with hydraulics. Get the big old fuzzy
and leather
brimmed
seat,
hat.
Big old hat
print.
With the feathers coming out of it. And a big old pimping Pastor Mark.
Iced out watches and everything.
People say, well, you turned into a pimp because I've been telling people to keep their pants on. Nobody listens to me anymore.
So now we want to.
At least I'm trying to get some money out of it.
He's not really going to become a pimp, honest. I promise
pimp
you.
Out, man, I'm going to give me a Bill pimp mobile and.
No, he's not.
On your dysfunction.
No, he's not. I promise you.
Bunch
he's
of hoes. Going to hoes for Jesus. Good Lord.
You better take a break before you have a breakdown.
It's a slippery slope.
Oh man! All right, I'm going to check my medication during the break. We'll be back right after this.
Have a marriage dilemma? Email your questions to radio@markgunger.com and Mark can answer them during one of our shows. Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles.
You'll never conquer that thing that's got a hold of you until you bring it out of secret, out of the darkness, and bring it into the light.
And you know, that is such the key right there. Because truly what it boils down to for me, my experience is that I had to get to that place where I've said, I've had enough.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have another ace up my sleeve. In every situation, I believe that it's a constant surrender.
Band of Brothers Radio, streaming and podcasting daily at faithplace.org. It's here, finally. For years, Mark Gunger has been asked to create a product for teenagers, and the time is now.
Sex, Dating, and Relating is the newest product brought to you by Mark Gunger and Laugh Your Way America. In this four-disc DVD set, Mark covers the topics of sex, dating, and relating in a straightforward and relevant way that teens will sit up and pay attention to.
And there's that one special cosmic being out there just for you. No, there's not. Okay? It is a bunch of hooey.
In partnership with National Abstinence Speaker Pam Stenzel, Mark and Pam tackle the topic of sex in a real way. Honest and to the point. Not just telling our teens what not to do, but why they should wait for marriage.
Students, you have a 4 times greater risk of contracting a disease today than you ever have of being pregnant. Pregnant teen girls in your state today are carrying, on average, 2.3 sexually transmitted diseases.
Sex, Dating, and Relating is perfect for parents and teens to watch together, for youth groups and school groups. It's all the information you wish you would have heard when you were young. Make sure your teenager gets this information before it's too late. To order your copy, visit us online today at laughyourway.com. Sex, Dating, and Relating. Give this gift of knowledge to your teen today.
For Jesus, but we're trying to encourage people to step up to being hoes.
We are not the hoes for Jesus. You're listening to the hoes.
We're trying to encourage other people to be hoes.
Now,
for those of you who think we've lowered our morality, we have not. What we're trying to do is explain to you that that's a step up from what people are doing now.
Yeah.
Having sex for no reason at all.
Prostitutes are not the bottom of
the
lowest level.
They're not the bottom. You know what the bottom of the level? It's the women who just have sex with guys they hardly know, and they're just having sex
for nothing.
That's the lowest. That's the bottom.
Yes.
So we're trying to encourage you just to become a hoe.
At least.
You know, we can at least get them up to there. Then we can take them over to Annie Lobera, who's hookers for Jesus
and she can,
and then
get,
she
him
can get them saved.
She'd be mortified
so
by
maybe
that
we're kind of like
comment.
The middleman. We're just trying to get all you girls out there to start being hoes and start charging. So then Annie can come along and get y'all to quit being hookers altogether, and you can start serving Jesus for real.
Good Lord. I sure hope that people understand what sarcasm is.
They don't.
Otherwise, you're going to get mail.
There'll be people all over
Gunger's
the place.
Promoting prostitution.
Mark Gunger. I am promoting prostitution.
No, don't say that.
I am.
Stop.
If the choice is you just screwing men who you're dating, you don't even know, I'm saying at least be a prostitute. That's exactly what I'm saying.
Because you're screwing men you
profit
don't know, and you're profiting. That's
make
right.
Make the man pay.
That's right. Oh.
Well, they charge the men. There's nothing from these men.
You'll see real
no
quick.
No commitment.
Nothing.
Yep. No nothing.
Some of them don't even get dinner from them.
Oh, my gosh.
Boy, that boy will straighten up and fly right when he's got to put a dollar amount to
where
it is.
You know what?
Got.
You know who really be upset about this? Is all the men. The men. Date single mm-hmm. women. Single Christian
because
women.
Because now they have to pay for it.
I'll be mad. We'll start getting emails from Christian men. So what are you doing, man?
Now I got to pay for it.
You're messing with my vibe.
I used to go to church and get laid for free.
Now there's a cover charge.
Now you come along, I can fork out $500 for crying. Unless she's really ugly, and I can do it for $100. Well, man, dang, that's a lot of money. You cost me like $3,000 this month.
$500 per Sunday for you to walk through those doors.
That's right.
For free. Come on.
Crying out loud. I just get laid for nothing. Now you preachers come along now. Now these women charging us.
Yeah.
You stupid men out there betting. You say you love Jesus, you're dating these women, and you're screwing them. What's the matter with you people?
Mm-hmm.
Good grief. Stuff makes me mad.
Apparently you didn't check your medication during that break.
I'm going to get a pimp daddy hat.
You need to. This chair is really squeaky.
I know.
I'm sorry.
You need
is that
to
why
get some...
you wanted to switch
No, it wasn't
seats?
Squeaking when I sat in it. I think it has something to do with you.
I could make a really sarcastic remark about
You're
that.
You're fatter than me?
No, that it needs a little bit more weight to hold it down.
Oh. I'm afraid you probably outweigh me, Ross, but let's not go there.
How much do you weigh?
Tell
oh,
me to
yeah,
tell
let's
you.
Share that. No,
how,
no,
how
no.
much do you weigh?
I weigh 160.
I weigh less than that.
Do you really?
I do.
By a couple pounds? No.
No. No, by about 20-some pounds.
I can say those things because you're not my wife. I don't go home with you, so it's okay.
No. I am in the low end of what you should weigh for my height, put it that way.
Which is what?
Do you really want to know what I weigh? I don't know. Care.
You're putting all this out there.
Wait, I don't care. I'm still trying to figure out how to organize this Hose for Jesus thing.
I weigh 140.
And how tall are you?
5'7" and a half.
And what is the perspective weight that you're supposed to be in?
Like
now all the other women who are heavy hate you now.
Right.
The 140 is the low end. I mean, I should be like 140 to 160, I think, is
you know
about.
What's, those whole numbering things, like for your height,
mm-hmm.
Yeah,
they tell you that you're morbidly obese.
For my height?
Well, like if your
you
weight
are?
Per
he
height.
He is morbidly obese.
I think those numbers are way wrong.
I hate you all.
Okay, can we get to
I'm
it?
Not morbidly
he's not obese.
Obese.
He's horizontally challenged.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm
he's just
a
not
big
tall
old
enough.
Fat pimp daddy.
He's just not tall enough. He'll have a big belly to wear all those gold chains on.
And
they'll
the
be hanging down
suit.
Nicely.
Right.
That's right.
Okay, you ready for a compliment? Maybe it'll lighten your mood there, Mr. Gunger.
No, I'm going for this pimp thing, man.
Okay, if that's gonna,
can I help? Can I like design?
I got some. Oh no, church! Which I freak out churches now.
Oh Lord!
What do they want us to come to their churches and say, man? At least charge them. Good Lord!
We are pro prostitution.
If you can't keep your pants on, at least charge them something.
Oh, my.
You know those few churches that do allow you to come back? I don't think so much anymore.
Yeah.
I think that'll
be it. We start seeing
it.
A big decline in Laugh Your Way events.
You know, there's a few that do allow you to come back.
I kind of like the guy, but he's trying to get women to become prostitutes. I'm not trying to get you giving. I'm saying stop just having sex with these guys.
Yes.
If you can't do that, at least step up to a prostitute.
No.
Yeah.
He really is not telling you to do that. Please, please, you have to be clear. He's not telling you to do this.
It's like the new Get Rich Quick Scheme by Mark
Gunger.
He's
being facetious. He's being sarcastic.
We're going to get emails. I made $3,000 in 1 week.
He's being the hyperbolist. Please
following
don't listen to him.
Mark Gunger's advice.
No, I'm serious.
No, you're not.
I am serious. At least
I'm
charge
him. Save your career. Stop.
Oh, we need an intervention.
Stop. I'm trying. He won't let me continue. Let's go.
No,
stop
I'm
talking.
Serious. Because maybe it'll snap him out of it.
I
think women would be shocked. There's no way most of these women who screw these guys are Christians, and they're Christians. Everybody's Christians, and they're all screwing each other. They would be mortified to say, well, I'll have sex with you, but I Pastor Mark says I need $300. I mean, they wouldn't even, you know, hopefully that snaps them out of it. I'm trying to get something in their head that gets them to stop
to
thinking
see the
so stupidly.
And here's the thing that these women are not realizing, that the men who they would have to do it for money with feel the same way about them as the ones they're doing it for free. Did you follow that?
I did not.
No,
too many
I did
words.
Not either. What was that?
Thanks. These girls think that the guys they're doing it with for free really love them and care about them. They don't.
They don't.
No
of
more than
they
a
don't.
Guy who's putting down
That's
$500.
The point.
Those men feel the exact same way about them.
They do.
Sure.
And these women don't think that. They don't realize it.
They're not going to be the women that they want to marry.
He loves me. We've been dating for, 3 hours. I think I really like it. I have to take my pants off.
But that's what
Good
the girl heart. On the Titanic
John,
did.
$500. Send half of it into me. Be back right after this.
Mark Gunger's sold-out women's conference is now available on DVD.
Here's the question of the evening. Why would a man like myself be concerned about helping women become strong, confident women? Because I'm concerned about marriages, families, churches. Ultimately, I'm concerned about men. You're here tonight because I'm concerned about men. Why would I be concerned about men? Because I do not believe that we will be able to unlock the spiritual potential in men as long as we have women who enable those men to act very badly.
Order your Butt-Kicking Women's Conference DVD with over 6 hours of life-changing speakers. Available at laughyourway.com.
Are you tired of wasting your time and money on marriage counseling that works temporarily but leaves you worse off than before? My name is Larry Bellotta, and I know what it's like to endure a miserable marriage because I've been there. I lived 27 years in a marriage made in hell, but in the 28th year, I fell in love with my wife, and today we're continuously married, 34 years happier than ever. Over the years of working with couples, I found that one thing holds them back from the marriage they really want, resentment. It's true. If you don't feel good, you won't do good. How many people in miserable marriages can do something positive when they feel angry inside? And it's in struggling marriages that you miss that intimacy, that closeness and connection that you used to have. It's time you tried something that really works when counseling won't. And that something is called the Fulfilled Couple Program. You're going to learn how to eliminate your negative feelings in 60 seconds so you no longer have to get angry, no longer have to get critical of one another. And that's why this program has an 88% success rate. Go to fulfilledcouple.com/mark to learn more. That's fulfilledcouple.com/mark. And get ready to fall in love again.
Oh yeah, sing it, come on, stand up everybody, dance.
I feel good.
Shake it, Ross, come on.
I knew that I wouldn't.
Oh.
My shaker's broken.
My shaker's broken.
Got my wiggle.
So good. So good. I got you.
Sometimes I really need to think before I scream.
You're listening to All Things Hoes.
Did you hear what I said?
Kurt, no. Everybody get out there, raise some money. What'd you say?
I said my shaker's broke, but my wiggler works.
And then he realized he should think before he speaks.
Well, then he's got to repeat it. Yeah. Because we missed it. Yeah.
I heard it.
Well, maybe I just really wanted you to hear what I said.
Yeah, I think you did.
Okay, I'm commandeering this show.
No, wait a minute. I'm not done with this. No. I'm reading the Bible.
Preach
some
on,
of you guys
preacher.
Freaked out. This
preach
is Ezekiel 16, chapter verse 30. For I am filled with fury against you, declares the sovereign Lord. When you do all these things, acting like a brazen prostitute, okay?
Brazen, not brazen just a prostitute, but a
when
brazen
you built
prostitute.
Your mounds at every street corner, made your lofty shrines in every public square, but you were unlike a prostitute because you scorned payment. You didn't even want money.
Right?
And then he goes on. He says, you prefer strangers to your own husbands. All prostitutes receive gifts, but you give gifts to all your lovers. Boy, that's not like a lot of women a day.
Yep.
They freely screw these guys and take care of them, do whatever you want. Like, can I help you? Can I move in? Can I clean your underwear? Can I make dinner for you? Bribing them to come to you is what he's writing. Bribing them to come to you everywhere for your illicit favors. So in your prostitution, you're the opposite of others. No one runs after you for your favors. You are the very opposite. You give payment and none is given to you.
That's
this is a picture of millions of Christian women today who claim to love Jesus and freely screw men in the church, in other words. And the older they are, the worse they get at it.
Yep.
Who are less than a prostitute, the Bible says. Because at least a prostitute will ask for money.
Yep.
You scorn the money. In fact, you go the opposite. You give them gifts.
Mm-hmm.
You offer them gifts. Oh, please be nice to me. Mm-hmm. Oh, please date me. Oh, please love me. Here, I'll screw you. Oh, here, I'll take care of your little kids. Oh, here, I'll do this for you. I love you. Oh, Pastor Mark, I don't think there's anything wrong with it. Then you marry these bums, these pigs of men,
mm-hmm.
who have you ensnared in your little traps, and then you write us, oh, my marriage is horrible. I don't know, it's horrible. I've been married for 3 weeks and we're in hell.
I wonder why.
Goodness gracious. Okay, I think I vented.
Okay.
Move on.
Okay, it's a compliment. Hopefully it will buoy and
it'll be
lift
the last
your
compliment
spirit.
I get.
It might
after
be.
A while.
It might be. Let's savor this one. It might be. Hi, Mark, Diane, and Ross. I have written to you guys a few times in the past, and thank you for all the advice you give. Now, I would like to share my story with you and all the listeners out there in Radioland. My boyfriend and I started dating 3 years ago. I am now 21, and he is 22. Within 3 months, we were fornicating. 6 months, we were living together. 2 years, we had a house, 2 cars, 1 quad runner. It must be a quad runner. A cat. And we're in hell with our relationship.
Okay, now, is this not exactly
this is it.
What we were just talking about?
Keep listening to the compliment part. Just wait. We both grew up Catholic and resented every minute of it because both of our families are very dysfunctional, claimed to be Christians, lived and still do in utter sin. Therefore, we pushed away Christianity. Last April, you had a conference on a cruise in the Caribbean. My aunt and uncle attended that, came home and offered to mentor us. They are strong Christians and we are very close with them, so we accepted their offer. What we had were not marriage problems. I considered myself married to my boyfriend at that time, but rather we had personal problems. Since we started mentoring, we have learned about many things, including love languages, love and respect, and you. We have watched your seminar, read your Laugh Your Way book, and as per your advice from previous email, bought your Flag Page book, which we received just a few days ago. I am now glad to announce that my boyfriend is now my fiancé as of December 11th. We have become Christians. We look forward to attending church every weekend, and we try to read the Bible nightly. We still live together, but now sleep in separate rooms, which might I add is extremely difficult, but it won't be for long since we're planning our wedding for February 19th.
Well, good for you.
I think I speak for my fiancé as well when I say we cannot wait to get married so we can enjoy sex again. We are so happy now and never knew such happiness even existed. Thank you for all of your sage and honest advice. Very good. And the PS is for you, Ross. Congratulations on your little girl. We can't wait to start our own family.
Awesome.
That is fabulous.
See? Somebody came along beside them, straightened their noggins out, and they're going to do it the right
way.
And
God bless you.
Very, very good.
Do life right.
You know what's interesting? And I'm glad that they're, you know, pursuing Christ and everything, but some people who are, you know, fornicating and then they get married, how much their sex life decreases and how much it's not all that they thought it was going to be once they are married, because it's not in that.
In the lust context.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
That's a good thing for them to stop having sex.
Absolutely.
It puts things back in perspective. A few months.
See, that's why you guys need to knock it off.
That's right.
Knock it off. Stop. Mm-hmm. Get it in the right, because you go in straight ahead with this. We've gotten emails like this.
Yep.
We got married, and all of a sudden, he's not interested in sex anymore.
That's
he was
right.
like, why? Because just you took it out of the lust context.
Absolutely.
Yep.
You got a guy who's not having sex with you, who wants to commit to you, to have you. Now you got something.
That's right.
Here's a girl. They broke it off, but he still wants her and is waiting, and they're doing the right thing. Now you're doing life right.
Absolutely.
Good for you.
Yay
good
for them.
Fabuloso.
Next email.
Where do they live?
I don't know. I can find out.
We should crash it.
Wouldn't that be hilarious?
Talk about a really bad movie.
It's like What Not to
Eat
Wear.
All their food.
And all of a sudden we come in.
Yeah. Where we swoop in.
Yeah, absolutely. And we whisk them away and stop the cycle
of
stupid
I just
want to
swing in and eat their food at the wedding.
Oh, yeah. Just the food.
Yeah.
Good heavens. You want to work too hard.
I just want
free food.
Just free food.
How I look like a burrito.
Okay, next email.
This body doesn't just happen, you know.
I know, you have to work really hard.
Yeah, this is not overnight.
I know. Okay, my 12-year-old grandson.
I hate her.
I'm moving
Everybody
on.
Hates you.
What, me?
Yes.
We tolerate you.
Well, I'm not even going on that rabbit trail. Let's go. My 12-year-old grandson has just gotten a one-week expulsion. I think she means suspension. One-week suspension from his middle school. He took a small jackknife with him and was playing with it. This kid is no dummy. He knew exactly what he was doing. This child has just started middle school, and he is failing in his math and science classes, although he seems to enjoy his music classes where he plays violin and sings. This old grandmother, that's the lady who's writing, believes this child is trying to find any way he can to escape. How can I help him? Consequences have been explained. This latest expulsion, I am sure, is viewed as a vacation by him, even though his mother is making him scrub the house from top to bottom and no video is allowed. Can you help?
Or is the father?
He's there. I asked for some additional information. He's in the house, but he doesn't do anything.
There's your problem. There's your problem, Grandma.
The dad doesn't do anything. He's not really involved with the kids.
Is the father her son?
I think the daughter is her son. I mean, the daughter is her son.
That would be really odd.
The daughter is hers.
Her daughter is her
son. So it would be her son-in-law.
Which is very complicated.
I'm sorry. I misspoke.
It's a transgender thing.
It is possible.
Which is way outside the expertise of this program.
He has some issues. She said that his father is bipolar and often just sleeps through the day. He doesn't do anything with them. When he is awake, he tears apart motors and tries to repair them. He does cook, but he has strange friends. They all look like Hell's Angels. And he spends a lot of time with these strange friends.
Yeah, there's your problem, Granny. It's your son. It's your son-in-law.
Yeah, it is her daughter. Yep.
Yeah, it's your son-in-law. That's your problem. How do you get through to him?
Yeah.
The
focus is not the concern is for your grandson.
Yeah,
the problem is the father.
Right.
You got to figure out a way to get a hold of that father's, get his attention. Yeah. If I were your daughter, I'd tell her to kick the bum out of the house, or sit down and talk to this guy. Say you need to spend time with your son.
The parents rarely go to church. The grandparents will take the kids.
Whether
they
go to church
them.
Or not is not the issue.
No, but I'm just saying somebody's got to get through to the guy.
Yeah, it's the boy. It's the guy. Yeah. You got to ratchet up the heat on him. He needs to start being a father. That's why the boy is self-destructing.
The dad does say that he watches you on Sunday mornings on TV, though.
Who does?
The dad watches you. The dad who's not involved in the kids. The grandma says that the dad watches you on Sunday mornings on
TV. Well, he needs to man up. He needs to get a pair. Start being a man. Start being a real father to this boy. It's not the mother who should be bringing down the consequences. It should be the father. It's not the mother who should be reasoning with the boy. It should be the father.
No.
It's not the grandmother who should be trying to rationalize with the boy. It should be the father.
I wonder if she can get him to watch your Manly Man DVDs.
I don't know.
She bought him and sent it to him and gave him for his Christmas present or birthday present or something.
You can do that, Grandma.
He's bipolar.
Go on our website, laughyourway.com, get the Manly Man DVDs, try and get him to the father. He likes listening to me on TV, so he must like me already. You know, try and get some of this information in his head. He needs to start manning up. Yeah. The single greatest influence in the life of any boy, also any girl, studies have shown, but particularly boys, is the father. The truth, and you women don't like this. I know it's very politically incorrect, but when it comes to the moral values of a child, a woman can barely compete.
It's true.
With a father. She can barely compete. Statistically, it's been proven out. Every study has been done on it.
What was it, 40? Do you remember the statistics?
Depends on the study. I mean,
different ones.
One study, Swiss government says that if a woman faithfully brings a child to church with her all her life, 2% chance that kid will become a Christian. If the father does it all by himself, it jumps almost 46% or whatever the number is. It's huge. Baptists have shown, they did a study that if a woman's the first one to come to faith in the home, 17% chance the entire home becomes Christian. If the father's the first one, it jumps to 93%.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
MSNBC did a study, said that men have double the influence on the moral decisions and behavior of children than the mothers.
The fathers
do. Double. This is MSNBC for crying out loud. All right, so no matter who you look at, a man has the greatest influence on the moral decisions. So what do we have today? We have men who leave all the moral decisions and training up to the wife. And then we wonder why our kids are such a mess.
Because it's not working.
So your problem, your concern, what you're seeing in the son is a side effect. It's it's not the main issue. The main issue is the father.
Right.
You're seeing the results of a man who's a very bad father. Well, bad, poor father. I don't say bad. Bad if he's going to smoking dope with him, I suppose.
He's a poor father.
But he's a poor father. Mm-hmm. He's not connecting with the son, and he's given a bad example. Slays around, does nothing, just works out his thing, hangs around with Hell's Angels. Mm-hmm. You know, that's your problem, Grandma. Put your prayers on
the
son.
To get through to the daddy.
Yep. All right, there you go.
Okay, your discussion about having large families sparked some questions in my mind. I am 30 and my husband is 31. I always wanted to have my first child before 30, but 30 rolled around and my marriage is struggling and I have to work long hours to make it financially. My husband is a good man, but he is in many ways a little boy. I have to say that's a good thing on some accounts, as his sense of fun keeps us up sometimes and will always be. A little boy, I guess. I married him because I believed he would be a good dad. He is self-employed but has consistency issues and has recently started a band/ministry that he hopes will provide for our family someday. It does not
highly unlikely.
It does not make money for us now and takes up every weekend with shows. He frequently reminds me that God is our provider, yet usually does not assist with chores around the house and we struggle to pay bills. We have done financial plans, Dave Ramsey, and marriage seminars, though not yours yet, but we still do not seem to be stable enough to support ourselves, much less a child or children. Do I get pregnant despite all of this? Is our family one of those who need to stop while we're ahead? All around us, people are having children who can't afford it, and frankly, we are not the sharpest tools in the shed. Are we foolish or wise for waiting? Please advise.
You're foolish. Let me tell you why. Tick, tock, tick, tock, tick, tock. Your body does not give a rat's butt about the emotional status of your husband or about the financial stability of your home. Tick, tock, tick, tock. You keep waiting. At some point, you're going to be like millions of 30-some-year-old women today who are crying their eyes out because they just cannot get pregnant. Mm-hmm. The longer you wait, the harder it gets. Mm-hmm. It's just that simple. And the reality, it's not – she talks about the immaturity of her husband. Here's part of the problem. There are two major events in a man's life that turn him from a boy into a man. And it's the two things that we've been keeping from our boys as far as possible. The first one is marriage. The second is when that man holds that little creature in his arms for the first time.
Indeed.
Talk to any man and ask him what he felt either the day he got married or the day he held that little kid in his arms. And most men will tell you about something that just changed in them. Mm-hmm. It transforms them from a boy into a man.
Dare I say,
he takes life more seriously.
Dare I say that it only transforms him if he's married to that kid's mother, though? Am I right in saying that?
No, yeah. Without the
because lots of men without the marriage, it doesn't mean anything. Baby daddies.
Baby daddy is nothing.
Yeah,
but she did the right thing already. She married the boy. That was step number one. Your problem, dear, is you haven't done step number two.
And it might be too late.
And he will struggle with it. And the fact that you're 31, there's no guarantee now you'll get pregnant, darling. I hate to break your heart. No. Hopefully you will. The more you wait, the harder it's going to get.
Indeed.
It's just the realities of it.
It was interesting. We were with our son and daughter-in-law for her baby shower. She's going to be 30 and is pregnant with her first child. And her bridesmaid girls were there who stood up for her when they got married, and they're all around the same age, 30, 31, 32. One of them is also pregnant. One of them's married, no children yet, and the other one is like 31 and engaged to be married. And they're sitting around the table, all of these girls, talking about, well, we're in a way, and we want to go to South Africa, and we want to travel, and we want to do this, and maybe in a few years, you know, I'll get pregnant. And I'm sitting there thinking, you're going to be 35 years old trying to get pregnant for the first time. But, you know, they're
you didn't say anything,
I
huh?
didn't say anything.
You so know, I got a big mouth. I'd jump in.
Well.
Because I'm confrontational. That's why they still like you.
I'm
the one who doesn't get invited back.
I am the stepmother-in-law, so I need to tread carefully.
Yeah, indeed.
So, but I just thought, oh my gosh, you know, this is exactly what you talk about all the time. And these girls are sitting there, you know, they have great jobs, they've traveled, they've done this and that, and you know,
seriously, dear, are you girls even vaguely, you know? I don't know. I get mean. I know I sound mean. I just think I don't know how else to say it, but how dumb are people?
I know.
Are you unaware of all the women in their 30s who cannot get pregnant and who are desperate to get pregnant and they're spending fortunes to get pregnant and crying their eyes out because they cannot get pregnant? Are you girls? Are you even awake out there?
I think they are, but you know what? I have heard so many people talk about it, that this IUF and all the stuff that they do, the fertility stuff, I think that it is normal to them. I think that they just think, well, you have a baby, and if it doesn't work, we try this. I think that they just don't consider that abnormal, that that is to them now a normal means of trying to have a family.
Well, it doesn't always work.
I know it doesn't.
And it's a fortune.
I know.
So you get all this money saved up, and then you flush it down the toilet, trying to get pregnant, and then you're back where you were in the first place.
I know.
And here's the other thing. Honestly, you young people, golly, I know it sounds mean, but I don't know how else to say it because I think you're not using your brains. Stop and think about this. For thousands of years, men and women became grandparents in their late 40s, early 50s. Mm-hmm. As is in my case, as is your case.
Even okay. Early 40s.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay? When you have – but this is the time of life where we're free. We have the greatest amount of freedom now. Most of us in our 50s make this is the time of life where you make the most amount of money you'll ever make in your life. Mm-hmm. You have the greatest amount of freedom, greatest amount of life experience. It's quite fun. Mm-hmm. Talk to people in their 50s who have the money and the freedom to enjoy life, and they'll tell you it's quite fun, and they get to enjoy their grandkids. They're just having a blast. Mm-hmm. Now, let me get this straight. You young people today, you're trading in that time of freedom for your 20s when you're dumb as a brick. Mm-hmm. You have no money, and you don't know what you're doing. And you have the greatest amount of physical energy you'll ever have in your life. Mm-hmm. So what you're saying is, I'm going to wait until I have a much lower amount of physical energy in my body, and I'm going to try and deal with children then.
Mm-hmm. Well, not to mention they'll never be grandparents, and I don't think they have the forward radar to even think that.
They're trading in. So a lot of these – I've been to Disneyland.
Yeah.
And I've seen these guys running around with the kids. It's not their grandkids. They're my age.
I know. There's an article I have. I'll have to bring it about being a mother in your 50s to young children and how it's not such a bad thing. Wait, I'll have you read it.
Man.
It's amazing.
Who would want to trade that in?
I'm not 50 yet, and I don't want to be a mom to little rugrats. I don't.
50, Ross. 50. Got guys like Kian in their 50s.
No.
This is our culture. No. So the time of life when they should be having the most freedom and they have much less physical energy – they traded that in for what? For their 20s. For what? You say you're – this lady writing it, she's 50 – no, she's 30.
She's 30.
31 years
old. 30. Mm-hmm. Husband's 31.
What exactly have you gained?
Mm-hmm. But you're probably the first time she's heard this.
I'm just saying over the last 20 years, what did she gain? You just did your whole 20s and you did what? You drank more beer?
Mm-hmm.
You did what? Number one, you're not earning that much money.
No.
Number two, you don't know what you're doing yet. You're still making mistakes and trying to figure life out.
So why couldn't they have kids for the last 10 years while they were doing that?
Yeah, your kids be half grown by now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so that by the time... That's me, though.
No, not as bad as you. I mean, these guys are waiting. She didn't even have one yet.
Oh, I know, but see, we didn't have our first one until we were 30. But right. This is a message that is brand stinking new to most people my age.
Yeah.
So to all of a sudden bring it into that, they did, you know, pursued life for 10 mm-hmm. years, or in their case, however
they
long.
They thought that's what they were supposed to do.
That's what we were supposed to do.
Mm-hmm. No, I get it. All I'm challenging is, what was the point? You had the 20s and you did what exactly?
And not to feel bad, but just we have to teach her.
And she's still not having the child.
Right.
It's not like she's pregnant.
Because now we're the ones that
have
to reverse.
She's still debating why
this.
Husband's still not mature enough, so maybe she's going to wait another 2, 3, 4, mm-hmm. 5 years.
Yeah.
And I was like,
because I am going to be the 60-year-old, 70-year-old grandparent.
Yeah.
And I have the desire to want to reverse
not
this.
Not necessarily if you're.
Well, you know, yeah, if I can get my
grows
son.
Up.
Yeah.
Yeah. But still, I'll be.
You won't be
60s.
In your early 40s, but that's all right.
No, I think it's great, but I think that's where people have to hear this message and not take it personal, but then realize they can still do something about it.
Look, if people choose, if that's what you want, as mm-hmm. long as you right. know it,
mm-hmm.
you're saying, yes, I want to wait. The 20s are so valuable to me.
That I'd rather have that?
I can't imagine what the heck they're right. enjoying mm-hmm. at this point. You have no money. You don't know what you're doing. Okay, so, but it's so, if you intentionally say, yes, I want that freedom now when it means nothing to me. Mm-hmm. And I'd rather not have the freedom later. If you really want that, okay, that's your choice. I'm not going to condemn you for it. I think you're being foolish.
Right.
But I don't. My point is, I don't think they're thinking.
There's a little.
I don't think they're doing the math.
There's a little bit between the lines here. I want to ask you because I'm kind of sort of reading that they have some struggles
kind of
and the marriage isn't maybe the greatest. And you know how people will say it's not going very well, but let's have a baby; it'll fix it. That's not what you're saying, correct?
No, not at all. And quite frankly. It's a little disturbing, you know, because at some point what I'm hearing her say is my marriage may not survive
mm-hmm.
because it's not quite great,
right?
Mm-hmm. You know, first of all, you think that you're in trouble anyway.
Right. But it's not like we're having troubles and we're going to have a baby
look,
and it'll make it better.
The people who succeed in life are the ones that divorce is never an option.
Right.
That's right.
That door is closed.
I think
and
all
bolted.
Of us, even my young son-in-law here, all of us at times in our marriage have thought this is hell.
Mm-hmm.
This is hell. This is hell. This is hell.
I don't want to do this anymore. I don't.
And they're in hell.
Why can't
and they want to get out.
Sleep.
They just I can't take it anymore.
Sleep. Hell with it.
That's what they're thinking.
Uh-huh.
That's what they think. Okay.
Yeah.
All of us.
Yes.
The difference is, even when we were going through hell, divorce is not an option.
It's not.
Not an option.
I want to know how many of these people who are thinking this way. Come from broken homes, and that's still an option.
Well, that's her fear, you know. Yeah. We're still not getting along. We're still struggling. We better not have children yet. What are you saying? Because we may not have a marriage yet.
Right.
Well, as long as, you know.
You have to determine you're going to have a marriage no matter what.
Yes.
Exactly.
Fight and then in which case you start having children. It's not, why? Yeah. Because it doesn't matter. We'll have, look, there's going to be times when you and your husband are going to go along and it's going to be great. Mm-hmm. There's going to be times where it's just going to be horrible, awful, mm-hmm. miserable.
No good. Very bad.
But you just, I don't know. I just think this young generation, you know, I sound like I'm 120. I'm only 56 years old. Do you think?
And I'm 10 years younger than you, and I sound like
it sounds like we're just prehistoric
geezers
talking like this. This generation, they don't, maybe it's because of public education, they don't know how to add.
Maybe not.
They're not doing the math. Do the math, people.
Or does it matter?
I just don't think this is a topic that's on the radar for anybody.
Even in Ross's situation, you know, I mean, they waited longer than we did. But even still, you're still on the low end of what we're talking about here.
Yeah.
We're talking about people who really are waiting a long time.
Oh, yeah, until their late 30s, early
40s.
You're for number one.
40s.
They would have waited until 30 to get even married.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, well, I'm 36.
And they'd be getting married now.
And how long have you been married?
I've been married 16 years.
All right, so there. So.
Yeah.
All right, so at least he's not out there
getting addicted. But to even make it that far.
Getting addicted to porn and everything else during this whole time.
Yes.
They just didn't want to have children, you know, for whatever reason, okay? Or maybe
know.
Could or can. I don't know, you know? It wasn't all that easy the first time around anyway, right? You guys went after
it. Wasn't easy
the
first time. It wasn't easy the second time.
You know, that's my point.
Yeah.
I'm talking, these people are by intention, Ross. Intentionally.
Agreed. Yeah.
Waiting to almost 30 to even get married. And then intentionally, like this lady, oh, things aren't quite right. Yes, things aren't quite right. And they're going to be 35, 36, 38, 39, 40 plus when they start having children, if they can even have them.
Right.
They're going to be in their 60s kids. When the kid's still in high school.
Right. What are their and kids going to be
are
like?
Are you not? See, that's the problem with this culture is nobody. Here's the real problem that America's really going down the toilet is we don't know our history and we don't look to our future.
Right.
We are obsessed with
right now.
Now. Mm-hmm. That's why people don't save money. That's why people don't plan, because everybody is obsessed with right now.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they don't think now. They don't think, gee, where am I going to be in 20 years? Where am I going to be in 30 years? If I'm going to be 35 before I have my first kid, and then my kid does the same thing, I'm going to be 70 years of age before I become a grandparent.
You know, I think there's a lot of people really who don't want to be grandparents. I think there's a lot of people that just don't want to be. They're very obsessed with youth and what they want to do. I know people who are mortified. Sure. They don't want to become grandparents.
But it's the same thing. It's like people that don't want to become parents.
Right.
But what happens when people become parents?
Most people love it.
Most people. We're talking, I mean, you got to almost be a sick, twisted piece of crap
to not
to love it.
Yeah.
You would give your life.
Yes, you would.
You would sell everything you have. And do anything you can to preserve that child.
Absolutely.
The thing that people will love the greatest in life, again, they're not doing the math. They're not thinking. They're delaying children. I don't want to have children. I don't want to have children. But yet when they have it, they can't imagine life without it. Mm-hmm. They resist the very thing that will mean more than anything to them. Mm-hmm. The same thing will happen when they become grandparents.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But now, instead of being in your 40s and 50s having grandparents and really enjoying these things. And by the way, I got to tell you, grandparents – beats the crap out of parent.
Mm-hmm.
It is like the next drug up. Mm-hmm. It is. Ask anybody who's done it.
Yeah.
It is the next. It's like, you know, smoking marijuana and shooting cocaine. Snorting cocaine. It's a whole bigger buzz
oddly,
on the grandkids.
Oddly, I have a lot of people, because I am very excited about becoming a grandma at the age I am. I would have been excited about it 5 or 6 years ago. But people will say to me, really? People my age, you don't want to be a grandma. Yeah, you're too young. Why would you want to be? I mean, there are a lot of people who say that to me.
But it's the same problem because they don't think. They don't understand.
I know. What I'm saying is,
all of a sudden now, you're having this experience. Mm-hmm. And what do you have it? And it's great fun. And we've been having it for years now. We're having a blast with this thing. To all of a sudden have it for the first time and you're in your 70s.
Mm-mm.
And you go, oh, man, what have I done?
Yeah. Well, not to say that you're useless to these kids, but for the practical purposes, you kind of are.
Almost like what did we do? Because mm-hmm. there wasn't. See, now there's almost more of a sense of urgency to really mm-hmm. build this family for legacy, for future. And when time is not on your side, when you have to wait 3 years to even become pregnant, it's just not right. It doesn't feel right. Like, why?
And look, I only had 2 kids. We didn't do the math.
Nope.
Yeah.
In fact, I was raised in a culture that said, above all, only have 2. Because there's so many people in the world, which is a bunch of crap. It's not true.
Just your replacement. The 2 to replace you.
Yeah, just 2 to replace you. And that's really below the replacement rate, because most people don't have at least 2 or can't have at least 2, or some don't get married at all.
Right.
You know, it's problematic. Look, enjoy life, people. The most wonderful things you'll ever have in life are those children and those grandchildren, that family. It's not about the money. It's not about all this other stuff. It's about family. Cherish the thing that will mean the most to you. All right, God bless you guys. See ya.
Bye, bye, boys.
Have fun storming the castle.